like to call this meeting of the Carson City Historic Resources Commission for Thursday, July 12th at 5:30 p.m. Community Center Share Room to order. Can I get a roll call, Tamara?
Chairperson Drews.
Here.
Vice Chair Darney.
Here.
Commissioner Block.
Here.
Commissioner Hayes.
Here.
Commissioner Schmitter.
Here.
Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Spilda.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Great, thank you. Next item is B, public comments. Members of the public who wish to address the commission may approach the podium at this time to speak on matters relevant to or within the authority of the Historic Resources Commission, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this public portion of the agenda. Is there any public comment? Hearing none, we'll move to C, approval of minutes from May 10th, 2018. Minutes?
So moved.
So moved. Any questions? Or for a second?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I abstain. I wasn't here, so.
Okay. Motion is approved.
You can approve it. What
I'm abstaining.
You can approve it. That's being fair by ourselves, that day.
I want to point out that alphabetically.
Item D, modification of the agenda. Agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. Public body may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. Public body may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion regarding an item relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Hope, is there any?
No changes.
No changes, commission members? We'll move to E, public hearing matters. E1, for possible action, HRC-18-076, to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding a request for historic tax deferment on properties owned residential office, RO, located at 408 West Robinson Street, APN 003-236-01. Hope.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hope Sullivan, Planning Manager. The subject property had been subject to the tax deferment, and due to a change of ownership, is back before you for consideration. The property is known as the Bliss Bungalow, and it's listed in the Carson City Historic Survey. A site visit conducted on July 2nd showed the property to be in good condition. Any alterations have been reviewed by the HRC and are consistent with the standards and guidelines of the district. The property is in compliance with the Historic Resource Commission guidelines, and the staff is recommending that the Historic Resource Commission recommend approval of this tax deferment to the board.
Thank you, Hope. Is there any commission member questions, comments, discussion?
I just had one question. Is it still being used as a bed and breakfast, or is it just residential?
I don't know the answer to that. There is a sign still in front. I was there today, and the sign is still there.
Any other questions, comments? Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of HRC 18-076, a request for historic tax deferment on properties owned residential office, located at 408 West Robinson Street, APN 003-236-01. The subject approval is based on the findings that the property is in general conformance with the Secretary of the Interior Standards and Guidelines for Rehabilitation, Carson City Historic District Guidelines, and with the Historic Resources Commission policies.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Hope. Next item is E2 for possible action. HRC-18-089, to consider a request for the installation of solar panels on the roof of the home located at property zoned single family 6000 SF6, located at 319 Mountain Street, APN 003-192-24. Hope.
Thank you, Hope Sutherland, Planning Manager. I do have a picture up, and I understand there's new landscaping there that the picture's not capturing. So hopefully that's not throwing you off. I understand it looks Fantastic. Okay, so the subject property at 319 Mountain Street was constructed in 2001. Although the home is constructed to be compatible with the district, it's not contributing property in the district. Development standards 5.14.2 address the guidelines for roofing associated with new construction in the district. The guidelines state mechanical systems and other devices which are roof mounted are to be designed in such a way that they are not visible from the street and are harmoniously incorporated into the overall building design. The two-story residence sits on a corner lot with frontage on both Telegraph Street and Mountain Street. The front of the house is on Mountain Street. The first floor porch is located at the northwest corner of the house. The proposed solar panels, no proposed solar panels are suggested for the first floor roof. They're on the second floor roof and they're on the sides of the building as well as in the rear of the building. Given the placement of these solar panels and that they're not on the primary facade and they're not on the most visible roof line, which would be that lower roof line, staff is recommending approval. Property owner Jeremiah Trapp with his contingency is present and he's happy to answer any questions that the commission may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Hope. Is there any commission member questions of Hope or of Jeremiah?
Clarification on the stipulation that the panels don't face the street. Are they talking about the main facade street, or on this case we have a corner and we have panels facing a street?
What
I'm just wondering if there's further stipulation to
what the guidelines state is that the mechanical systems and other devices which are roof mounted are to be designed in such a way that they are not visible from the street and are not and are harmoniously incorporated into the overall building design. So given the, I'll go to the elevation, given how high that second floor roof line is, I think in terms of the pedestrian vantage point and even a driver vantage point, it's not as if it would, it's not the level of visibility, if you will, that first floor roof line or even a different type of roof might have. And so in looking at it in the field and looking at how high that roof is and the pitch of that roof, I felt that it was consistent with the guidelines.
Just for the record too, I think Greg and you might remember, so 2 years ago we met with Mr. Hersey across the street, and we actually, he was going to put solar panel, he was going to, his garage that he's building had a different orientation. He was proposing solar panels on Mountain. We thought that was a more sensitive direction, and we asked him to turn everything to face Telegraph there. So this is consistent with what we've done in the past for that end of Telegraph Street anyway, and it's compatible with new construction.
And just as a clarification, there's no panels on the garage, which is the lower roof line.
Correct. I put up the elevation for you in the front of the house.
Right.
Is essentially on the left side, if you will, of the slide, and the garage is on the far right, and there are no panels on that lower roof line.
Any other questions?
Okay, I have a question. Well, on the site plan, actually, was where I started this thought. First of all, this means I'm seeing where the panels are drawn in. It looks as if it addresses our concern, actually, where we made a mistake previously, where we went above the apex of the roof. The way they're drawn, they're well below the apex of the roof. So I just want to confirm that's true. Number two, I'm I suppose curious, the ones that are on the Telegraph side are, I mean, that roof is slightly pitched. I mean, it's on the north side of the building, and it's slightly pitched away from, you know, the ideal for the, capturing the sun's energy. So I don't know. I guess I'll leave it to the scientists, but you're extracting enough benefit from that to make it worthwhile putting them on that north side that's sloping basically away from the ideal slope, which, because that's, I agree, it's better to have them on Telegraph than Mountain. I think we're clear on that. So. But, I mean, I just sort of curious in my head, like, is that really gaining enough benefit to be worth putting it on the street side of the building?
If I may, Mr. Chair, I did speak with the applicant before the meeting and explained to him how how happy I was when this came in to see that we didn't have the panels on the front elevation or on the lower roof lines. And the applicant's comment to me was that was all Tesla, it wasn't us. So this was an original design that the applicant came in with. It was not a negotiated design.
We should probably be careful about talking the science of solar technology, because it's the placement in terms of aesthetics is under our purview, but questioning cost benefit for solar may not be. So let's remember that in discussion.
I agree. My science degree is in another direction, but But still, as we're putting it still on a somewhat more visible side, and so it goes through my head like, what do you get out of that on that particular north side? I wouldn't think of doing the north side of my house. I'd be wondering whether I could do the south side of the garage, probably away from the street. So I guess the trees are interfering with that. But in terms of my head thinking of things, and I'm thinking south, not north.
It might be interesting.
Solar, at least Tesla, they guarantee a certain.
Jeremiah, can you speak from the podium?
Jeremiah Trapp, for the record. So the way that Tesla does it, after they come out and do their survey, they guarantee a certain amount. So I guess even if it's bad science, they're going to pay you half your electric bill. So I just thought I would share.
Well, obviously, it's more efficient to aim it at the perfect angle towards the sun, towards the south. I mean, that's a given, and you can't quite get there. So you struggle with some measure of inefficiency. So it's just a matter of whether it makes sense. I agree, but putting it way up high does solve a lot of visual problems. So maybe we could just be happy with that.
Yeah, I think you're right with the trees, though, that was limited in where they could collect the sun. So.
Just for the record, this house is not a historic, contributing to the historic district, and the house across from it also has a new building facing onto it. So this isn't the most pristine of streetscapes that they're putting the solar panels on.
Yeah, and I think that
I just want to make a motion.
I just wanted to say, based on the other ones that we've reviewed, there's a lot more panels on this.
That is why, ma'am.
Yeah. But I don't have a problem with them.
Is there any other, is there any public comment on this item? Any other commission member questions, comments? Go ahead, Don.
I move to approve HRC-18-089. A request to install roof-mounted solar panels on a house on property zoned single-family 6000, located at 319 Mountain Street, APN 003-192-24, based on the findings outlined in the staff report, the standards and guidelines for rehabilitation, the Carson City Historic District guidelines, and consistent with Historic Resource Commission policies.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The landscaping looks great, Jeremiah.
Oh, good job. Thank you.
How's your back?
Sore.
That's another element.
Next item is E3.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be not voting on this item.
For possible action, HRC-18-102. To consider a request for partial demolition, an addition, a re-roof, modification to chimneys, a new porch, new windows, and a new fence on property zoned residential office, 406 North Nevada Street, APN 003-226-03. Hope.
Mr. Chairman, before we continue with this item, I'd like to ask the vice chair to get back on the record and just explain his abstention. He could just say he's abstaining and not voting on this matter because he's representing the applicant.
I need to go up there, stand here. Yes, I'm going to be abstaining on the vote on this item. Oh, because I'll be representing the client as a because they paid a consultant.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Hope.
Thank you. You do have some late material, so I just want to bring that to your attention. You received at your seat a list of excerpts from various newspaper articles over time related to this building. That's the first page after the yellow sheet. After that, you have received a copy of the report that was in the report done by the National Park Service on historic buildings on this particular building. So I'm sorry that wasn't in the original staff packet, and thank you to Commissioner Schmitter for providing that. And you also have a photograph of the building with the children in front. I believe that was in the packet, but this is a clearer one. And thank you to Commissioner Block for bringing that for distribution to the commission. The subject property was constructed in 1871 by Abe Curry, one of the city's founders. Per the 1980 city's resource inventory, the home was built with stone quarried from the Nevada State Prison. It's an L-shaped building with its extension at the rear and a projecting front entry. The hip roof is pierced by four chimneys. Details include the double-hung windows with 4x4 lights, stone lintels and sills, brackets at the eaves, and a recessed entrance. The applicant is proposing the following: demolishing and rebuilding the west wing apartment while retaining the stone facade on the south and west sides, as well as the fenestration. A re-roof of the entire house with a 50-year laminated composite roofing. Removal of chimneys. Rebuilding the front covered porch consistent with historic photos. Replacing all window sashes with Pella aluminum clad wood windows and storing the existing windows. And extending a 4-foot wrought iron fence along Nevada Street, adding an entry gate and a vehicular gate. I'm going to take these items one by one because I think it's just going to be easier. The applicant is proposing an addition on the west side of the building. So what you'll see in this site picture is the west side of the building. If you look at the west wing, the portion where the addition is really an interior elevation where you have that, I don't want to call it a carriage house, I'm not sure, it's an outbuilding. I'm not really sure what to call it. It's not a garage. It's Bob and Andy were nice enough to show it to me. And so you have that building, and it looks out onto the yard. So where the addition will not be a primary facade. 5.26.1 of our guidelines speak to the addition, to how to handle additions to historic buildings. What the guidelines say is that the additions need to be compatible in their configuration, design, style, scale, materials, and architectural details with the distinctive character-defining features of the building. The additions should be done in a manner in which they do not destroy significant original historical or architectural material. The additions which seek to create an earlier appearance shall not be approved, and that additions which are incongruous with the building shall not be approved. So again, the applicant's proposing to remove the west wing of the home while retaining the south and west stone facades. The existing fenestration will also be along the south will also be retained. The footprint of the building will be expanded to the north. The north elevation of the west wing, and I have the elevation on the screen for you, will utilize a stucco exterior and incorporate new windows and doors. Therefore, it won't be confused with the original construction. Staff finds the addition to be consistent with the guidelines in that the character-defining features, which include the stone facade on the south and west elevations and the existing fenestration on those elevations, will be retained. Additionally, with the use of a different exterior material on the north elevation, it will not be confused with the original building. In terms of the roof, section 5.14.1 speaks to how to handle roofs for historic buildings. What the guidelines tell us is that original roofing material and features are to be retained and repaired if at all possible. Other roof features such as chimneys are to be retained. I've posted for you the elevations, and what the staff finds is that the shape of the roof is a character-defining feature, and I believe the shape is being retained. Due to disrepair of the chimneys, the applicant is proposing removal. the staff is recommending to create consistency with the guidelines that the chimneys be retained. Staff does recognize this may mean removal and rebuilding of the chimneys, and I'm okay, that's a construction method. But I think at the end of the day, when the re-roof's complete, the chimney should still be as they have been historically. In terms of porches, section 5.19.1 provides guidelines on porches for historic buildings. What it tells us that if suitable documentary evidence can be presented which demonstrates the original existence of a porch, which no longer exists, the porch may be reconstructed to match the original as best as possible. We do have evidence that the porch was there. There's photographic evidence and written descriptions of the fencing, the porch. The plans don't call out the building materials, so staff is recommending a condition of approval that the post be wooden material. In the late material distributed from the Historic American Building Survey, it indicates it documents that the porch was a 5-bay porch. The porch that's being contemplated, sorry, I went the wrong way, is a 7-bay porch. So staff would suggest, to remain consistent with the guidelines, that there be a condition added. And again, I hadn't read the Historic American Building Survey till today, but I am recommending a condition that the porch construction match the original 5-bay porch construction that's identified in the Historic American Building Survey. In terms of windows, section 5.16.1 speaks to guidelines for windows. The guidelines advise that the original windows shall be retained and repaired when at all possible. When replacement is necessary, a window of duplicate design shall be used. The size, pane, configuration, design, and trim shall replicate that of the original. And the original trim and surrounds are to be retained when windows are replaced. This commission spends a lot of time on windows, so I know you already know these guidelines. In considering the guidelines vis-a-vis this application, I will note the applicant is proposing to retain the windows by storing them, not by continuing to utilize them. The applicant is proposing replacement windows, which will duplicate the design, including the size and the pane configuration. The applicant is proposing wood frame windows. So although utilizing the existing windows and repairing those windows as necessary is preferred per the guidelines, the staff's position in this in large part is based on sitting with the HRC for 2 years and listening to how windows are treated when there's a request for replacement windows. I do find the applicant is meeting the guidelines. But I do recognize that the guidelines clearly states that original windows should be retained and repaired when at all possible. In terms of the fencing, you can actually see the fencing in this picture that's there, but section 5.2.4 provides guidelines for new fences. It says the design of the fence will be determined based on its function and location. No fence shall be constructed which adversely affects the primary view of any building. There's currently, if you've been to the site, a wrought iron fence enclosing a portion of the yard. The applicant's proposing to install a 4-foot-tall wrought iron fence along Nevada Street. The fence will delineate the private property. The open fencing will not obscure the view of the building. The wrought iron fencing is consistent with other fencing found in the district, and the staff finds the fencing to be consistent with the guidelines. So with the conditions mentioned and the added condition that the porch reconstruction match the original 5-bay porch described in the HAPS report, the staff does find this application meets the guidelines and is recommending approval. And I'm happy to answer questions. And Andy Font, the property owner, and Rob Darney, the architect, and Bob Fredland, the friends, the contractor, the realtor, they are all present, I'm sure, ready to describe the project in greater depth.
Thank you, Hope. Commission member questions?
I have a quick. Is this photograph of the building? Do you know what year this is?
I think it's about 1880.
Okay, I noticed that the The windows on the corner there have been changed then? Do you have a photo of the front of the building?
I believe that's what, like a solarium room that was exterior to the building and accessible from the porch, and that facility, if you want to call it, that room is no longer in existence. Okay. I have that information from Mr. Darney, who okay. can probably speak to it.
So there was windows behind this building that are the double hung?
My name is Rob Darney. I'm the architect. I represent owner of 406 North Nevada. It doesn't show up in early photographs. Later photographs. This probably went away fairly quickly, but it appears to be just from the scars left on the building from the front porch. It appears to be exterior only. They accessed it from the porch. You can't get in, you weren't in, able to get into it from the house, and I think it was more of a temporary kind of a structure because there's no remnants of it, and there's not a duplicate of on the other side to make it consistent. And we don't propose to replace it.
Right, but you're proposing to do a full length porch?
Yeah, the only reason that we changed that from the five bay, well, first of all, because we didn't have access to that particular narrative that said five bay, is if you look on page A1 of my drawings, you see the area of concrete that is currently there at the front porch, which is a later concrete addition that was not relative to anything having to do with the house. Because they did this, they actually end up parging a lot of the rock at the foundation to hide it as they match the concrete to it. So we want to take all that out and rebuild the porch in the rectangular form that's more consistent with what we see in the photograph. If you notice the photograph, however, the roof doesn't go all the way to the end of the building. Go back to that first one. Yeah, it stops. I got a little pointer here. It stops right there, and the building goes to there. So that these end bays, they did not turn. They turned the corner with the roof. So I believe that then it'd be symmetrical. So the roof comes out this way towards us, the same distance as this. And that made a perfect 45-degree corner. We can replicate that if that's what you choose to do, but because we're not trying to replace and duplicate exactly what was there historically. We're just trying to emulate it, that we thought that for the sake of the usage in today's environment, that we would extend it and have use of a larger covered porch. But we're entirely open to suggestions on how the board feels about that.
Yeah, it looks like the porch splits those two side windows.
Yeah, which creates a problem for us because it also dumps water right on that last window. And that's what we're trying to avoid by stretching it out to the ends, is get away from those little nasties that were inherent in the original design. And at some point, something else was done right here, because if you look at the scar that's on the building now, it is not symmetrical. It curves off like it was a warped. Somebody cobbled something years later to get the water from not leaking. And that's what's left on the building, is a black scar on the rock. This side, however, is clean. It shows that line a lot more clearer of where that hits the building. And there's also the metal spike sticking out of the wall that probably held the ledger.
And then what year is this photo taken?
I agree with Jed. It's probably 1880s.
It's different than this one.
I've seen some of the aerial photographs. Actually, those two pictures are probably taken pretty close to each other. Yeah. No, they're square. They appear round, but they're square. There's a photograph in one of my doctor's offices, an aerial photograph of 1892, and that whole front porch is gone by then. It's not on there. 1892, the porch was no longer there, including the little solarium. The turret thing at the top, that shows up in pictures. The last one I saw was probably in the 1910s, 19-teens. But then there's no other photographic evidence that when it got torn off. We're guessing somewhere in the 30s it came down. And they did a terrible job. We're going to have to go and rebuild the roof in the middle. If you stand back far enough, you'll be able to see evidence of the collapse of that area. It's kind of a cobbled together structural nightmare that we'll be solving. And we're intending in a later phase, not this particular phase, but that's going to get rebuilt and replaced at some point. as part of our future planning.
Are the porch posts then going to be the rectangular form?
Score posts. And by the way, I do call out wood, wrapped wood posts. They'll just be a wrapped post to mimic that. I'm not going to try to duplicate whatever that is because I don't have a clear enough picture. I'm going to emulate it. And it'll probably be simpler, not quite as detailed. We are going to replace these little corbels that are along here because those are quite a feature of the entire facade that I think is worthy of being imitated. Other than that, it's just going to be a simple post. I think in the packet there's a couple of examples of more modern homes with covered porch. We'll have beadboard up underneath.
I feel fairly strongly that it should be a five bay again, mm-hmm. since everything from the National Register nomination to the HABS report to all the surveys mention a five bay, and we're basing it on the photographs, and we can clearly see five bays. But I'm also cognizant of the challenge with the water and
right.
taking it off the roof. So I wonder if there's some other type of solution.
Because we started with this design right here, mostly because we didn't have this photograph at the time. We only had the other one, and the tree kind of blocks where that last post
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
So we thought it did go end to end, but when we saw this one, we'd already designed it. But obviously, we can change it because the bays are not important. Just take that last bay that I have off. What we're concerned with is that spot right there on both sides, where because it's right at the window. This is not coming back to the house between the windows. It's definitely, it's 6 foot out, which puts it around the edge of one of them, enough to get water on, concerns at the corner.
Hello.
Step in.
Fredlund, general contractor for Andy Pham. And I'm just wondering if you could consider the five bays, if we went to the five bays but took it all the way out to the end so that we'd maintain five bays. But it would just extend those ends so that we could capture the water. Do you see what I'm trying to do?
Here's the problem with that, Bob.
Well, I know there's a problem.
I can't get them symmetrical.
I know. We can't get them totally symmetrical.
Right.
So the best symmetrical look at it and looking at the building today would be putting them up with the seven bays. But they don't sound like they like that.
So, oh, I see what you're saying, Bob.
You see what I'm saying?
It's okay. Not going to work for me.
Okay.
Bob or Rob, is there a way we can... can hide a gutter on
well,
the,
a gutter.
The north and south ends of that
yeah.
roof to at it, least.
It'll have a gutter, but that's still that one, every time you bring a 90-degree angle like that on a roof. The problem is the rock. It's so uneven that it's primed for leaking no matter what you do there.
What about, so the conservatory, solarium, greenhouse, whatever that was, has its own roof.
It did.
So what if we, can we do something with?
Can we jog back and?
Mimicking that
mimicking
roof
just
line?
The roof there and do that on the other side though?
Right.
But then that creates the seven bays almost.
Yeah, that's almost as much of a
no, because you would just do it at the top. You wouldn't have the posts.
Now what we can't, I know what you're talking about. I think what she's talking about, Bob.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to hold it up.
Here. Here, let me show you. And I'll
it would look,
here.
You know, consistent.
I think what they're talking about is to go like, have a single like that.
Right, exactly.
But that was porch.
Yeah.
The way you got
so we, but the, then ha, are we getting, this is a bay.
This is, yeah, so we'll have to have a column there, there, and there. Okay. So this will be
yeah,
five
still,
across
it's,
here.
It's still going to show up.
Well, here's the thing we could do is,
five,
if you show that,
six,
can you
show
the
seven bays.
Site plan?
I got to support the ends.
I'm sorry. Or a floor plan. Floor plan.
I think there's a way that you guys can figure that out if we leave the five bays. You can cut a flashing into that stone, mm-hmm. and you can come off of that roof, and you can get it done. Because I'm also in favor
fine.
Of the five bays. It's just it's a problem you guys have to solve.
I understand. And
okay, right there. Stop. Don, what if we just set these two last bays back? So that they,
like
see, there's a jog in the building right there and right there. This front piece here sticks out from the main mass of the building. So this roof, you see how it goes up higher, has to go back further. What if we jog it right there, 5 bays in the front, and then 2 more that 6 foot back. That'll still leave us 6 foot covered.
Which would have kind of been what they had it with the solarium.
Yeah.
And, this, you know, on this the other
is
side,
a
we
6 foot
can't tell.
Overhang right now, and then this is 12 foot because of that jog in the building. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we could step it, zigzag it in the corners.
Then you'd have to have another post. Or we could make them solid walls like you would have seen in the solarium.
No, in that case,
you know,
probably just
like
go back
that.
to
doing that. You know, that way it would almost replicate that. I mean, that way, 5 bays that Don's asking for, I fully understand, Don.
No, it can be done. It's just not ideal.
Hi, guys. Andy Fant, homeowner 406 Nevada. I'm cool with having 2 solariums on the us on the sides. Just have the, as you come into the front porch, that side open, and I can have nice greenhouses on either side of the house, growing orchids and such. Not, you know, enclosed, you still have your 5 bays preserved. It still has the symmetry, and we just have 2 enclosed on 3 side rooms on the 2 sides, which is what you got here.
Well, which is what we have here.
And then the other thing, and then instead of being the, if you see how this, that's a flat roof there, if you put the pitch back in, which is here.
I guess, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, Michelle, in reference to increasing not just a post, but actually making a you know, an 18 or 2 foot wall that comes out and goes like this, like it shows in the solarium. Yeah, that, and so that was done on the it'd be the south side, and, but what was done on the north side, we'd want to match that, wouldn't we? I mean, that would look beautiful. Hey, Rob, get back up here.
Well, you have this picture in your packet, if you could all refer to it. It's not up on the screen. But if you look at that photo, it shows that solarium roof is completely flush with, even though it's set back, it's in the same plane vertically as the porch. So it does not tuck under.
So Judge just gave me a copy of the 1885, 1890, and 1907 Sanborn maps. All 3 versions of the map show the porch step back. And I'm wondering how they accomplished that.
The solarium on just the south
well,
side.
No,
right?
it's both sides.
No,
it
the
goes to north.
The solarium is right there.
Why don't we do that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the solarium is on in 1907. It shows the solarium filled in on the south. But originally, it looks like it did step back the entire width.
Well, the drawing, the photo clearly indicates that the porch is not symmetrical to the building. It extended further to the north than it did to the south by almost, I'd say, 3 times.
On here it looks symmetrical.
No, that's actually, Don, it does, actually is symmetrical.
No, I don't.
That's the last post right there.
Photo's wrong, and what I'm wondering, Michelle.
There's that. There's the little.
Just a sec, Michelle. The 5 bay description is coming from the 72 report.
The National Register nomination, because this is a standalone, and all the survey say 5 bays.
But
then,
but
they're getting it from
the problem is we have a photo that shows 5 bays with a solarium, and that may be the confusion. We may have had 7 bays with
five bays fit at the street line.
At the street light, then step back with 2 more, looking at the Sanborn maps.
So we're kind of open either way, you know, extend it 7 bays or jog it back with 7 bays.
I think the jogging it back would be a good way to solve that.
Now that you show us that Sanborn map, it makes sense because all that would be different, we'd be have to add another column in that corner to make that jog. And if it shows that that's how they did it originally, then that just kind of supports that.
If I have an 1885 Sanborn map that substantiates that porch was stepped back and 1907 showing the solarium in front, I could support the seven bays in that case.
The only thing I'd ask is that we leave that.
Yeah.
We may not want to build a solarium.
No, we don't. We don't need to. But I would step the porch back. Mm-hmm. We can counter the National Register nomination form with additional data to say we think there was seven. We think that's a more accurate depiction, and we're covered that way.
Yeah, because this mass here is quite significantly stuck out towards the street, its own thing.
Looking at the picture, I think it's the angle of the picture, but you look at the Sanborn map, I think there were five bays in there, and it's set back. Mm-hmm. And true to nature, hey, we've got a porch with a cover over it. Let's make another room out of there. So, you know, by 1907, they ended the solarium, but
on the
in 1890, it goes straight across the front, and it's equal. And I think the five bays are there, and you go back and continue the bays off the roof as on the Sanborn map. That solves all the problems. You got five bays, and then you have sixth bay on the north, and you have seventh bay on the south.
That would simplify their structure because all three of these roofs would
be your water problem.
Yeah.
It solves
and
it all.
The roof
okay.
is per
we almost have no
per
issues
the
with
original.
That.
Are you still talking about these larger walls on those seven ends of the seventh quays, or as long as we post and we just jog it back?
I would keep
that would sharp.
I would keep the five bay configuration as it's in the photo, mm-hmm. and then step back, put your posts on the corner for the other side bays. And
I agree.
I think you've got what was there originally.
Okay.
Very good. I'll just email you those cutouts that I
appreciate that. Thank you.
That was fun.
Actually, if you could send that to Hope for the record too, that'll help, because we'll put that in the.
What year Sanborn map are we going back to?
Okay,
they're all the same. Can you just give me 1 year then?
1885.
Thank you.
So, Rob and Bob, you think you can handle the water now? With
yeah,
this
yeah, that simplifies yes. the roof in real well. Yeah.
Okay, good, great.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question regarding the windows.
Mm-hmm.
The replacement windows, what kind of a shadow line do we have with the Muntins? Is it replicating what we have?
Yeah, we're actually not replacing the whole window. We're just replacing the sashes. Just the top and bottom sash are going to be replaced with modern, you know, insulated glass sashes. The windows that are in there now, I'd say 70% of this glass has been replaced with thin, eighth-inch sheet glass. And they're in there, and they rattle when you shut the window, and they whistle, and they're pretty nasty, and there's a lot of them. And it seems to be, for her being her primary residence, we're just going to replace these two sashes, leave all the mechanisms in place, and store those sashes. So they could be restored and rehung any time down the road.
But if this is a building of historic significance for our community, why can't they be restored for this building, not some
because
other
there are
theoretical
buildings? 16. And again, it's all about, you know, money's not growing on trees right here.
Well, you can peck away at the project, I suppose. And I kept most of my single pane, leaky old
windows.
They're in
good shape, realistically, you know. but non-operable. And every single pane of glass has been replaced. There's no more. I think there's four or five with the wavy. But other than that, they're the thin cheek stuff. And it's just made more sense to make them not whistle and make them airtight and make them modern.
Well, I'm all for making things not whistle, and I have more old glass in my house than this has, apparently. So that was all the more reason to try to save that wavy, interesting glass. But still, you can cinch things up lots of ways. I mean, I talked to Jed down here, who spends a lot of time on said projects with his windows.
So
it's
right
possible.
Now it's all about time and money right now, and that's the honest truth. Because, yes, you could individually take these out, but when she's at her primary residence, that's not a necessary realistic project for her.
I'm sorry, but the efficiency of a window is huge.
Yeah.
But, sure, you could rebuild them all. What we're using is the top-of-the-line Pella product that's been used nationally in historic projects and national parks in Nevada and nationally, San Francisco, all over. We're using the putty type of window. It looks like the putty window. It's the blunt stock window. It's everything as we can, as close as they have been able to use. I haven't seen any other window that can replicate the historical looking frame and everything else. It adds the double pane window to it. It adds the proper screen. These were hung with screens with little latches up above and a full screen all the way down, you know, in the day. I'm not sure if yours were. So this just really takes the efficiency and the proper use of that house. She's redone all the electrical, all the heat. We've redone all the plumbing. So she's really taking this house up to where it needs to be to last another couple hundred years.
I have just a couple quick comments. I'm very familiar with the Pella restoration replica window. That's great. And I can support that in this type of a thing. The only argument I have with the comments that you made is we don't have the money. We're not here to discuss money. You know, we're here to talk about the historical importance. And if the money doesn't work, I'm sorry. But I do support the Pella reproduction window. It's used nationally. If you do use the reproduction window, Pella's gone to a great extent to mimic and maintain a good quality product that, you know, from the street or even when you get close to it, it's there. But I just don't want to have an excuse of this is all we can afford. Then don't do that part.
And Don, that was not my intent. The intent was that when it came to us to sit down and decide what to do, that was one item on our list, obviously, as from this side of the aisle.
It's just a tough precedent for us.
Yeah, it comes down to a tough question of do you want them operable and useful and looking good, or do you want to spend the next 4 years doing them one at a time? And what we decided was if we can keep them for someone else who has more will to do so, then we could certainly do so. But at this point, it makes more sense for us to replace them with modern, working, high efficiency.
Yeah. So with that, Rob or Bob, how much modification of the frame is going to be done?
Almost none. I think the stop is the only thing that has to be replaced.
So just the stops. I mean, what I'm thinking is
from the exterior, you'll barely notice the difference because
there's a storm sash out there out there. That's stain.
Where I'm going is if I come back, if I want to buy this from Andy. Mm-hmm. 5 years from now, I want to put the windows back in. Am I going to have a headache with the frames because they've been cut out?
No. All we do is we take out one stop. And these windows are actually going in from the inside, and they slip right in. Okay, mm-hmm. And then we just put a new piece of trim on the inside. Hopefully, it's that easy.
Yeah, they're exact replicas of the size and fit of the original.
I have a question. The two windows next to the front door, under which will be under the porch, is there original glass in that?
Yes, and we're not going to touch the front door.
No, and the windows
that
are.
The front door had a tree in front of it for a long time.
It's not the original glass.
Right,
no,
there. That's all going to stay.
It's not the original design and everything else.
But
correct. Yep.
But the windows. How much original glass? I mean, is there enough original glass that you could redo one window next to the door?
With
the original,
we'll have to find out what the original was, you know, what they used in that, and I'm sure she'll look at that definitely. Right now, she's just leaving the front door with the two side panes and the upper glass right there.
I'm talking about the windows.
You're talking about these two.
Yeah. If you have two on the front porch, which is the main facade, people are going to be standing there. It's going to be protected. It's not going to be exposed to the weather. And you could use original wavy glass. I think that's a nice touch. And then replace all the other ones that are on the sides and lesser viewed elevations that are probably closer to the rooms that you're going to be using.
Yeah, we could do something like that. Just from the outside, I don't know. If you put them side by side, you could tell the difference.
Yeah. So my question was, is there enough wavy glass to redo one window?
No. If we started ripping apart the other windows?
Oh, maybe for two. Maybe.
It wouldn't look very appealing. Huh?
It's not two, it's six.
Six.
It's two on that side.
Well, no, she's just talking about this facade here, not the whole, not the side.
She's just talking about just for show, for museum piece.
But you're going to see all six from the street.
Right.
But they're not close to each other, I guess the point.
Well, it's two, and two.
You know, another reason also to keep in mind as you look at the addition is to keep all of these windows consistent also. As we go to the addition, we're using the Pella product, the same product, which now I think it's got aluminum, if I remember right.
Clad.
you know, one wood, one aluminum, or something like
that. Well,
that's
the thing, too, is if you could tell the difference, I think I'd tend to agree with you. But standing at the street looking at that house with one new one next to one old one, if they're both painted and refinished, I don't know if you could tell the difference, because the only thing we're replacing is that sash and not the entire frame. The entire frame will stay. Just that sash that slides up and down will be replaced.
The fact that we're archiving all the windows, I think, carries, I mean, you've dealt with SHPO. I think that's a standard mitigation measure is, you know, if we're going to change stuff out, let's keep originals. And it does give an opportunity to make a complete product out of what's left at some point.
I have a question. I drove by there today and noticed there's a number of windows that were open. Mm-hmm. Have those been repaired? Do they function?
It's just for air.
Just we were trying to get anything open we could.
Right. No air conditioning at the moment.
Are they propped open, or are the weight sash cords still working?
They're
on
propped, and they're still sticking. You know, we're just getting up at it to get any circulation because we don't have the AC completed.
Right. And so when those old windows leak and they rattle, is there any, there's not insulated with spring metal or anything in them?
No.
When we went to the camp program that we had that the historic commission put on, they talked to us about taking the sashes out and putting the spring metal in, and I actually bought some at Menards. And yeah, I understand. I mean, I've restrung 19 windows in my house, and the truth is when you have central air and things like that, you might have 2 to 3 windows open. That's 1875, 1867, my office, they're all screwed shut, and they're all caulk shut, and when we want fresh air, we open the doors. And when Nevada Energy Convergence came in, we were in 10% about having to vent them. But, you know, you guys want to take out the windows and save them somewhere, you might as well throw a rock at them or put them in a vintage store, because there isn't another building in this town that has 7-foot tall windows. Mine comes close at 6'6".
Well, we wouldn't be saving them for someone else. We'd be saving them for putting back in this particular
building. Well, yeah, and time goes on, and a new owner comes, and kids play, and things get broken. I mean, the reality of that is probably none. You might as well put them in the attic or the basement or forget about them. But I'm with Don. We're talking about the landmark house that has to do everything with Carson City. Now, we talk on this commission about the front facade. There's 6 windows in there. If you fix those 6 windows, which 4 of them were open this morning, or more, there was a few of them, that front facade we're always looking at, what if we have them restore those front windows, and the Pellas would look great on the rest of it? And whenever I've come in front of the commission and talk about, well, let's make it all the same as when it was built or what's been replaced, and you want to see the different periods of when things are adapted. I know firsthand the windows are repairable. They're not in bad shape, but we always look at the facade, the front of the building. I could care less about the other 13 or what are the other 7 that are everywhere else. But when you also look at those double pane windows, you also do see a glare. If it's low E, which hopefully you wouldn't put low E in there, you see the green tint. You can get the stuff with the, I guess, nitrogen or something that's the natural light, which helps. But I had dreams of windows this nice when I started undertaking my project that I might add Mr. Fedlin sold me. But it's, you know, all the weights are in there. I've used 300 feet of sash cord. It's doable. The way the old windows were configured, the way the top sash and the bottom sash, there's a ceiling strip in there. The windows wobble back and forth so you can put the spring metal in there. The inspection covers are there. The whole anatomy's there to do that.
Jed, did you also notice all the storm windows on front?
Well,
that's just going to create leaving these storm windows on, too, if we leave those.
Well, so if you put the storm windows on in the winter, like you're supposed to, nobody really cares how cold it is outside because they don't want to be outside, and you take them off in the summer. And I deal with this all the time. I mean, my house is fully insulated and everything else, which I know there's a problem with sandstone not having the same R value. But you've also got central air in there. You know, and if we have them replace all the windows except for that the 6 in the front. I mean, I think it's not just because it's an old house. It's Abram Curry's old house. And I applaud what Andy's doing, putting the front porch back on, and eventually, not in this discussion, the cupola,
is, you know, I'm so grateful that someone would want to come and do this, but it seems like the labor versus the windows on those six on the front would be worth it. It would be worth it to me. I looked at the house. Bob showed me the house. I would have loved to have been able to afford it because it's really in good shape. And those storm windows that were put on, because you look at the Habs report and it says how dilapidated the windows are in 1972, but somebody bought them and rehabbed them and put the storm windows on, which preserved it. I mean, the storm windows, yeah, they're ugly.
They just take away the whole effect of that you're trying to accomplish anyhow.
Well, it takes away one effect, but it also, when you're putting double pane windows in it, changes the effect.
And those windows are going to be protected by the porch that you're building, so they won't be exposed to as much weather. They probably won't have to have storm windows.
Guys, you're asking a lot of me. You're really asking a lot. I feel like I'm bending over backwards, and I don't want to have plywood in the windows for 3 years when it takes. That's not my skill. That's not my passion. I want to spend my time, and I want to spend my effort, and I want to spend my love entertaining in the house, and I can't put my window coverings up until the windows are solved. So, I mean, you're making the situation really untenable for me. And one hand you say you're grateful and you want me to do this. On the other hand, the windows are 50% exterior. Guys, the windows are 50% interior. And my position is you're making it really untenable for me to live in this house, saying, oh, just put air conditioning in and you know, pay the electric bill for that, and you can do this. It's like I feel that I'm bending over backwards with landscaping. I'm bending over backwards, you know, with the roof and the construction. I'm bending over backward having, you know, an expert here. I invited you guys to come out. A couple of you came out and actually understood, you know, my passion for building the house into a home again. It's been an office for 40-some years, and it has taken a beating. So I'm trying to get into the house. I'm living in 300 square feet right now with my animals. I've been doing this for 5 months. I just came out of 6 weeks of pneumonia. I'm desperate to move into my home, to have my family come visit, to start entertaining, to open up the house to people like you and other, you know, benefit organizations, and I can't.
But
I
you'd
can't
be opposed
do
to rehabbing these two windows.
I don't want to rehab any of them. I want to put
no,
them
but
all.
No, but I'm saying, in negotiating, trying to get this done,
no.
Otherwise we won't be doing any of them.
Guys, please, understand the windows are 50% you and 50% me. I've done all the research. The money is going to be the same whether it's Pella or a reconstruction. It's the time factor. If you give me the permission, as Hope has recommended, to store and carefully take care of the historical windows, and Jed, if you want them, give them to you for a birthday present.
Yeah. No, I don't want them for a birthday present,
guys are making me crazy.
Well,
why
can't you
else
just
I had to
where
do
I'm
house.
Coming from is I'm not a contractor. I'm not a carpenter. I can rehang my windows and fix them and make them work within an hour.
But that's you. That's not me.
Well, you're right. That's not you. And you have a contractor and you have an architect. And
who are building
I'd like
a
to
porch
see,
landscaping
I'd like
and
to see
electrical
a restoration project and not a renovation project. And like I'm saying, yes, I'm grateful, but it's also Abraham Curry's house. It's we've lost so much. We have this. This is the perfect opportunity. And I'm just saying, six windows in the front. It's doable,
it's
and they're not destroyed.
To restore it so it'll last, without a doubt. And that's the best product we can put in.
Well,
and used nationally.
How many years has it been since 1871? The
Bob,
windows are still there.
The fabric of this house is part of its history. I mean, I'm all in favor of restoring or taking the windows out, replacing them, and restoring them. But you can't make the argument that those historic windows are not part of that house. It is something that can be. If you were doing a faithful restoration, you would fix the windows. I mean, I've seen windows in much worse condition, where people have gone in and gone to a mill and had muttons remade, and replaced it. And yeah, it takes a lot of time if you've got big problems. I don't know that this does. I'll let the commission decide where they want to go with the replacements. But please don't make the argument that we're saving this house by putting new windows in.
You're making it livable by putting new windows in.
I think you could leave two old windows on the front porch. And
to the right of the front door?
To the right of the front door. And it wouldn't cost you anything because you don't have to do anything to them. That's all we're asking for you, is to have some original material left.
Just two, not six.
The one room.
I would go for two. That would be, make me happy. It's on the same facade as the front door. The other ones are stepped back, so they're not on the same plane. I would love it if you would could restore those two, but if you take them out and there's, if the windows are saved, then they could be restored and put back in at a later date. But at least you'd have the two original ones by the original door, and we'd have the facade saved. And then you're putting on this beautiful front porch, then, that you're doing an accurate representation of that.
And then in the wintertime, we'll put the storm windows back
on. You won't have to. It's got a porch on.
If you talk to the Pella representative, and he'll tell you the same thing. There's no difference between the double panes and a good old glass window with the proper window treatment on the inside. Yeah. You lose very little with a nice curtain there that keeps the draft out.
So all the curtains are going to be the same. They're already selected. They're in route. They're Hunter Douglas. And that's I'm desperate to hang them, and I can't hang them until we get the window thing solved.
The you're not losing much through the window pane itself. It's usually leaking through the around the frame. And so you can put, like Jed was saying, the stops around it. You can fix those two windows on this historic house that you're restoring and doing a fabulous job on. And you're going to have people walk up and go, oh, are these the original windows? Tink, tink, tink. No, they're not. They're in the basement.
We talk about the double pane, whether they can be put on the inside too, folks. You don't have to see them at all.
I'm sorry, I can fix it.
You can put the, we were talking about the aluminum windows that are put on the outside. They can be put on the inside too.
Sure.
I've done this in the past. You don't have to see those at all. I think it's a great, we're not here to negotiate with you, but that's a great compromise. I think on the same plane, I've rebuilt these windows. Sorry, Jed, you can't do them in an hour. You might be able to get them in a couple of days. But that is going to be an expense that is justified to maintain what we're all talking about up here. And we're saying with the rest of them, go to the Pella Restoration. But let's maintain the integrity of this building on the front porch and on that single plane.
I have a question. Because I did spend several hours on the property. I am not sure that those two windows are the ones, there's not a lot of glass in there, original glass, right?
Right, no.
So then we're going to be picking and pulling.
We have not counted how many there are left.
Well, my question is, how do you tell? Because my windows are thicker at the bottom and they're really thin at the top because glass is liquid. But how do you tell that they're not original windows? The 1867 property that Bob sold me, 90% of the windows are still intact. It's not like kids threw rocks through them. On my house over on Spear Street, it's all wavy original glass except for three panels. And there are some that do have cracks in them, but most of them are not. How do you tell?
We don't care. We want two windows out of 17 put on the front. Do it any way you can. Take the glass from the other ones. You'll figure it out. This is what I'm kind of getting the feeling. This is what we want. Let's just move on. We spent a lot of time on windows.
and Jed, also, just because it's wavy glass doesn't mean it's original. It means it's period.
I'd like to talk about chimneys.
So, wait, Michelle, can I ask you then, since you spent some time there. So what is it? Is it a silly request then to have those two windows saved, or two original sashes put into the end to the front? Is there a possibility that you could find two on that house that would fit in the by the front door that would represent an original type of window, or is that just gone? Have we lost it completely?
My thought is I'm okay with taking them and storing them because the most important part of this window to me is where it frames on the outside, and that's not going to be touched,
right.
Correct? Pieces and parts on a masonry building, I don't know how easy that's going to be to find an upper and a lower sash. I don't know.
They're in pretty rough shape.
Y'all know I want the windows saved, all of them.
Right.
And like Don said, we're not negotiating. We're spending a ton of time. I'd like to see the six windows in the front, but if we can save two, just two. I mean, that gives the texture and the feel and the look of what was there. So you can say, oh, those aren't original, but look at these two. And I would be willing to compromise for that.
That was in the main house. From the street, you do see.
You mean new? It's a good idea.
Here.
Did you want to build that?
Here.
We don't have to. Here's what Andy's idea is that might be helpful. Is what if we, you know, so we're looking at trying, first of all, we have the problem, can we find two windows that actually work and everything's perfect that we think we've restored them properly, right? And that would be one of your, you know, subject two, because if we couldn't, then obviously we'd have that problem. We'd have to go look at them with you. We'd all come over and look at the window. But she's saying, well, wait a minute. What if we did these returns where the roof, and we talked about the porch being set back, and if you looked how the solarium was, what if we found one on each side of that solarium to show an example of what those windows would be.
I think that's adding. I think what we'd be doing there is putting elements that don't belong on the house. So let's, I mean, I think Michelle's point is more than valid, and I know. I mean, I've got a collection of windows, and if I can make two out of eight parts, I'm in pretty good shape. So it is a challenge. And, you know, I think if we have them documented, if we could somehow make them an ongoing part of that house so that, you know, they always stay there. And, I mean, the workshop we had, the woman who did the restoration work back in Michigan was overjoyed when she went into a place and found the old windows. So if somebody has the ambition and wants to replace them, they can. I mean, we've got to compromise someplace. I'd love to see, you know, millions put into a faithful restoration, but there's a reality.
So I was thinking that they were the original windows and sash and had the wavy glass and were could be saved, but if they're not going to be able to project that image, they're not going to be the original windows. They're going to be a hodgepodge there. Then it's not going to be the entrance that I would like to have on that porch. And so, I would love to have two windows put there that had the wavy glass and would look more original to the house there, that would be the best. But if that's totally impossible because they're all scattered around and you can't do it, then I guess saving the windows and marking them, labeling them when you take them out, which windows they are, up and down.
Yes, so she plans on bubble wrapping them and putting them in the attic space.
Okay, don't.
I mean, photograph them, you know, archive them as... This is where they went.
Would you like to move on to the chimneys? As long as we're here.
Is there a consensus with the windows now? Or are we? I mean,
you guys.
There's lots of issues with. I mean, you could take those out, start replacing them, and as soon as you break a pane, now you've got to start looking for another window that has the same old glass, and you're tearing more and more. You're tearing more and more apart.
Yep.
I'd rather see them taken out, wrapped, archived, and yeah, it's not authentic. We're not getting the same color. We're not getting the old wavy glass look. But remember, when that glass was first put in, it wasn't. There may have been imperfections, but it certainly wasn't wavy and wrinkled and sagging and things like that either.
Differently than, yeah. So it's a moot point.
But the question is, do we want to go with two? Do we want to?
I
So, Michelle, we don't have really original windows in there with the original glass. Is that what you noted when you were in there?
It looked like there was a lot of glass that was replaced. But the windows...
I thought we were trying to save the glass, the historic glass in those sashes. If we've got replacement glass, it really does kind of change my mind on that. We're going to keep the frames. The frames stay. Yeah, I really have to rethink what I've been proven that it's a better way to put the windows in.
And we went full circle on this ourselves. We went all the way to both ends, checked it all out. Unfortunately, priced it all out, figured out the estimate time required, how much of the sashes are salvageable as far as being able to strip them, rebuild them, how much glass is left. Like I said, the wavy glass, whether it's the original pane or not, from its period, but you'd end up putting new wavy glass in, which you, again, wouldn't be able to tell the difference if they're side by side. Because all that is float glass. It's not really, wavy glass is the name we gave it. But
can I ask a question? Is there any way that we can put the windows on a separate motion? Because I'm two windows. And don't think that I have $600,000 in my house.
I think we're spending an awful lot of time on something that...
Can we make that a separate motion, the windows? Because I would be willing to compromise with two, but I don't want to vote this whole thing down because it's all the same motion.
The next time we bring it up, we're going to have the same discussion. We'll end up in the same place. So why delay it? You know,
I'm just asking for a separate motion for the windows, Mike.
Andy and her contractors over the head and say, you have to do it this way. We could come back in 2 weeks.
I was asking, can we separate the windows out to have it on its own motion? Because I want to vote no on the windows. Whether you guys are going to outvote me, that's fine. But I don't want to vote no on the whole project because I don't disagree with the whole thing. I'm having a hard time with windows. All I'm asking, can we separate that out, Dan, as a separate motion?
Mr. Chair, technically you all could make a separate motion. The reality is I think somebody could make a motion and get a majority vote, and the motion could incorporate windows. So I think you'll continue your discussion, but it will be up to the motion maker whether or not to include the windows or to not include the windows, but it could go either way.
Well, and Mr. Chair, just to chime in on that, it's up to the motion maker, but it's also up to the discretion of the chair as to whether or not you want to accept that motion, you know, as stated on the record. So it's in essence, what I'm saying is it's at your discretion what sort of motion you're willing to accept on the record. And if you decide you want to split it up into separate actions, you can do that as well or use it as one package motion.
So to be clear to the commission, if someone wants to make two motions, one clarifying windows in any configuration, I'd be happy to entertain both motions.
Thank you.
And a vote on that. Okay? That makes sense?
Mike, you're assuming there's only going to need two motions.
Okay. Do we move on to chimneys and see if we have three?
Can I ask a question? The glass is clear glass here, the replacement?
Yes.
Okay. And it's true divided light?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I've got one little picky thing. On sheet A1, Rob, you call out Anderson's on the windows.
Yeah. Oh, that was the early version.
Okay. So I'm just, if we approve this, we'll note on the plan.
Just for the record, it's Pella windows.
Did you want to move on to chimneys?
Let's move on to chimneys.
Because I'd like to stay up here for the chimneys.
We need something to get the smoke out of the room.
All right. So. If I'm not sure. Well, I could use this picture right here. So right now there's a total of six chimneys. Okay. Some, I think originally it had four. Then there was five. And now there's six. And so what our proposal is on the chimneys.
First button.
Okay. Hold it, right? Yeah. So the chimney up, there's one in the back here right now.
That's the north side.
The north side. There's this one, and there's this one. So if you're looking at the front side of the house from Nevada, those
Two, we want to restore them. Okay? This particular chimney, we'd like to move over just about 8-9 feet right to here.
Between the windows.
So that we'd still have the three chimneys from that view. Okay? So that we don't want to take any of those off. We just want to relocate one over a little bit to accommodate for a gas range or get a little gas fireplace.
May I add to that?
Mm-hmm.
Several reasons for that. One is we want to relocate that. Obviously, it had a wood stove in it, not a fireplace below. That's all been removed. There's nothing structurally in that corner holding that chimney up other than the wood. They've taken out the brick that was in the corner. So we have to rebuild that chimney no matter what. It's falling apart. It's actually got bricks falling out of it. That's the worst, structurally the worst one. We would like to take that down and build an identical duplicate, like I said, 6 feet to the left between the windows. And that allows her to relocate that stove on the inside to between those two windows.
So
the fourth one is
let's go back,
and that one's the utility. That's what the one that fired the boiler and all that. And that one you can't.
If we all have his elevation A3 on the plans, I don't know if you can bring that up. No.
That one's good.
Let's see here. Where am I at?
That's the north.
Yeah, that's the north. Okay.
So, that's the one that we want to relocate.
This is the one we're relocating. This is the one we're rebuilding. The one we're rebuilding again. This is a new location for one. Now, if you can bring up the other south elevation.
It's up there on the top. That's the group existing.
Let's see.
See, the top is existing.
Yeah, but I'm looking for right there. Right in there. You mean?
That's the existing.
Oh, the existing here and here. There's actually one missing right here. There's two existing fireplaces right here. This.
Behind it.
Behind this one?
Right.
Yeah. This particular one with the new roof system, we just want to relocate over a bit to pick up her stove and everything else so that this one is useless. So that they'll still be able to see that one, and it'll just be relocated.
That one's not original. That was put in when the gal, whoever owned it, after it was a teaching studio or something, turned it into a two-bedroom apartment.
That's this one here.
And that's when that was built.
The one that there's a one in very good condition that's still here, and then there's one right behind it. One right behind it, we're actually going to replace with another one so that it would be for a wood-burning fireplace for the addition or the rebuild of this apartment or schoolhouse. So we'd actually end up with all six fireplaces.
What am I missing?
Let's see. Do we have the two elevations?
I think
it's right.
Here.
This one's the one you want right here.
Right. This one's going to stay. This one's new. Mm-hmm. And this one's going to be
closed. If you guys could look at page A5 in your packet, because I don't think she has those on the screen. That's the west elevation, the back of the house.
Stays.
Yes.
The chimneys that you see on the, both the left, far left and far right are the ones we're going to rehab. The little one on the far right is the little one that doesn't match anything that was added sometime in the 20s probably. We're going to replace and rebuild a new one for her new location of her heater and her stove. The two in the back that are centered, the one that's between the windows we'll keep and rehab. The other one on the far right we want to remove. Is that right? That's the new one.
That's for
your new store.
We're going down one.
Right. That's for the new range, isn't it?
But we're
going
to keep this one.
The range has that?
No, it doesn't. That's right.
Now
so we're going down one.
Right.
The reason we're going to try to remove the one in the back is there's no structural support under it. And in order to rebuild it, we have to, when we move the one in the front, same thing as we will, it will be put back and it will be a faux chimney. It'll have a pipe inside of it with a box with brick, probably a thin brick to mimic the original brick. Because without the structural weight being able to be supported, we'd have to take something all the way through the room and through the floor to do that.
Just for clarification, no, you don't. I've been with our little friend in our office. When on Second Street, I had the same problem, and those chimneys are cut off above the ceiling and supported with LVLs and structural up above, and we didn't have to go all the way to the ground. So you can leave these in place without having a structural foundation with the brick.
I'm perfectly happy to have the two, one which was previously the dining room, rebuilt for the symmetry, and then the one that was over the bedrooms, rebuilt for symmetry. No issue. Want to move the one in the front to really be in my music room, and it is a bed and breakfast, gas fireplace, very small, so would just sit between the two front windows by the door. So move that chimney over, again, rebuild, and then in the back.
I'm confused on the one we're talking about. Can you show us an elevation on that one chimney that you're talking about relocating? That's on the front elevation.
It's on that one right there.
Right where this.
And that would be next one.
It'd be the east elevation.
That one right there.
Yeah. And where do you want to move it to?
Between the two
right
windows.
There. It's just going from the corner to between the windows.
Hmm? No, it's not. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't show on the plan. So that would be taken down and put back in right there.
Yeah. It was an omission on the elevation. We're just looking to move it over 9 feet and actually start using it. And the other two that you see in the existing elevation would be rebuilt.
And these, it doesn't look like that now because they're parts and pieces, but these three all match. And we would be rebuilding that one to match it exactly as far as the brick pattern and everything.
So you would need to add that to the proposed east elevation at the bottom
there.
Yeah,
that's missing from this one here. Yeah.
Correct, Greg, yes.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Instead of, I like how it looks with the three original ones there. Instead of moving it, if you restored those three, could you put another chimney or a flue pipe or something right between those two windows? That's not going to hurt the structural integrity. It could always be removed. Just to add one more thing there so you can get a glimpse of, based on any of these pictures, where they were, but just adding another flue for that cool little new stove.
The problem is that we have to take this down no matter what. It's falling down now.
Well, right, you have to take it down and rebuild it.
In my mind, it doesn't make sense to rebuild it where it's not being used. Let's just move it over 9 feet. Just my personal opinion, of course, I don't see the physical architectural significance of that particular fireplace on this elevation, whether it's there or there. They put it there because they had, at that time, the furniture arrangement, they had the stove in the corner. She, however, is going to put the stove there inside the room.
Hope, what were the two chimneys that you were recommending?
Okay, I'm going first to the guidelines. So I start with the guidelines. We're going to do a re-roof, right? And we're going to remove some chimneys. The guidance that we have on 5.14.1 guidelines for historic buildings say other roof features such as chimneys, dormers, or decorative elements are to be retained. So we stop there. So I look at plans and I see photographs. And I see that we have chimneys that seem to be from when the construction occurred that are proposed for removal. It strikes me this violates the guidelines and my recommendation, and I think the role of this commission is to implement the guidelines. So I would be relying, if someone were to make the argument to me, oh, that chimney went in 1950, that wasn't one of the original chimneys. But to the extent the original chimneys are proposed for removal, I find that to be inconsistent with the guidelines.
Can I make an addition on that? Hope, we're not actually removing it. We're relocating it. Small technicality, but still a word.
So you know which are the original, maybe there were just four originally? I mean, at some point here, this says four.
They added a fifth in the back when they created this little schoolhouse kind of thing, when they occupied that back end. And that was a smaller, shorter one that was on it, you know, a one-off.
So
it's still there.
Yeah. So I don't have a problem with you removing the little one in the back.
Right.
And even moving the one in the back, because that's not the primary mm-hmm. facade. But it is gives me a little bit of heartburn to move the one chimney from its original position. Is there any way you could build the flume to go up and meet that old chimney?
Probably not, because of the proximity to the outside of the building. It's not okay. enough. There's not enough physical room to accommodate that for a real wood burner.
Mm-hmm. Just thought I'd ask.
I mean, we turn it to a gas one and do anything, but then it wouldn't be real. So.
You know, it is gas.
Can then we just?
It is gas.
Do yeah, a
it's
pipe.
Just a gas. It is gas. So that's so, just the gas flue.
I mean, we just need the vent.
Just take down the chimney and then just put a pipe up?
No, I'd keep these two that we are.
The two side ones.
But then, but add the vent that they need for the new gas.
But there's three.
But, the, but what would you do with the old chimney that they need to take down when they do the roof? That's the that this one.
That one we just want to move to accommodate the new gas fireplace.
Instead of taking it down and rebuilding it where it doesn't do us any good, we want to put it, rebuild it exactly how it looks right back there. And that makes just as much sense to me as leaving that one, rebuilding it, and adding a pipe that was never there.
No, it's not. And that's why we thought, well, we'll put the chimney there. Trying to work with you here.
If we're going to have to put a pipe there, I'd rather the chimney was around it.
That's
so.
Exactly what it is.
That's kind of my thinking.
A flue pipe through there and brick around it, like yeah. he's talking about rebuilding the back, and it wouldn't be as massive, because those three chimneys in the front are pretty good size. Mm-hmm. But and if what's that?
I think it would look silly to have two chimneys in the front.
But there's going to be three. You've got the one all the way to the left, all the way to the right.
No.
In that one in the front, that's kind of off the side of the center of the building, and then you have another smaller one going up there. We know it's a different era. We know it's been added.
But
to take the old chimney and take it down there and move it there, it emulates like different than what everything that we see.
In other words, three chimneys before, three chimneys after.
Yeah.
No, he's asking.
I understand that.
He's for
I
fourth,
understand.
Three and a half. Fourth one.
But I don't. But once again, we look at the front facade here, and you're looking dead ahead in front of those pine trees. Are gone. They were still there. Probably be a non-issue. But you're looking dead on this. I know, as odd as it seems, I'm not concerned about the chimneys in the back because you're not seeing it from the front facade, like we're saying here. So is there a way that we keep those three chimneys in the existing and add, yes, a fourth one that's smaller, that's not as massive, that's no. doing that? If somebody wants
can,
to restore it,
can
if somebody wants to restore it, they need to move the chimney back.
I think I would rather they took this chimney, the original chimney down that's off to the side, built something around the new flue pipe that maybe wasn't as massive as the two on the end to make sure, to show that it's a different time period, mm-hmm. different pipe, but has the same function as this original flume, which was for a stove, Hope. Interior stove. So it would have the same function, Hope. Be almost in the same location, home? Maybe have a slightly different style or maybe a smaller element to
exactly
it,
what we intend.
So and then the mm-hmm. and then the ones on the end could be the original
so
that you're
kind
going to
of
rebuild
what we're,
to there.
We're almost saying is take down that one and put another new one up, smaller in dimension, because the Washoe Zephyr took it off 80 years ago, and then we're putting another one in between the two windows. That's a different smaller in design, so you could tell. Well, like this one did fall off, and this one
square.
Was.
Yeah. We're following the Secretary of standards and adding an element that does not replicate and cannot be confused with the historic ones. We can document and remove the historic chimney, put something else in there that is compatible but recognizable as the new building.
Plus, it'll serve the same function for the function of the building. It'll be there.
So once we do that, how many chimneys are actually functioning? It's still three, okay.
I'd rather direct this way. But you got to go up because there's no way to go to the rock.
So
When you rebuild chimneys, do you use the old material
as much
when
as we
possible
can, we
and then find the other
material? Absolutely.
Unless you have an
opinion.
For this chimney, I would use something different. I would go ahead.
For the one that we're relocating?
Yeah, the one that's being relocated.
Brick?
Yeah, don't use the old brick.
Okay.
Do a slightly smaller, slightly different style. Just it's the same reason we do stucco. It differentiates from the old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can photo document everything before it's taken down.
Can you put back the
We don't have the plans, or we don't have it shown on plans right now, so Rob can add that.
What if we made it look like that one? It's a smaller square. These see they're wide and rectangular. This is a little square.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So looking at these on the back, you wanted to talk about those? Nope. We're done. Okay. Next.
So we're still at two motions, right? Do we want the roof is something we would approve administratively? The comp is.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll
let's
approve
let's
material.
Just bring it up.
So let's go on to let's see.
Mike, before we leave this, can I make an addendum mention to that we're going to change something on the elevation? I don't know if it's in purview of what you want to look at, but we're not going to use stucco. We're going to use a horizontal wood siding.
Yeah,
just wanted to make
You know what, Rob? Why don't we? You know, we'll try to get through motions and stuff, and then if you want to submit a new set with what we've discussed, I'll sign them. That's it.
Okay.
So I just want to see where we are. We have. Okay, we just covered the re-roof. That's not an issue. We've got modifications to chimneys. We've got the porch done. We have the windows done. So what's left is the fence and the demolition and addition. Let's hit the fence quick, if we can.
Just one question on the fence. The one that's there right now, how high is that? I didn't have a tape measure.
It's 4 feet.
But most fences we have around town are a little bit less, 38 to 42 range, something like that. I mean, I think most
of them are about 42, but the posts are 48.
Right, with the decorative posts.
If they're matching what the wrought iron that's there, it's not attached to the building or anything, I don't see any harm to it.
That's right.
So that's exactly what we're doing. Like we're matching what's there.
Yeah,
and we've got little finials on top. And
yeah, we're consistent with the Secretary's standards by matching what's there because it's an addition that's significant in its own design. So, are we good?
Yeah.
We're good on the fence. Okay. We have partial demolition and an addition to discuss.
So she's not going to have horses. Existing, I don't know how many of you have been in the existing structure. It's been an apartment for, you know, at least 30 years or 40 years now. It was a little two-bedroom apartment. The floor's falling out and everything else. You know, it's got a little kitchenette, bathroom. It's got its own hot water heater and, you know, furnace and that sort of thing. And it just, it sits on dirt and sits on rubble foundation on the interior of the north side of it. The exterior on the south side and the street is exposed, and the west side is the original stone. No intentions of disturbing that at all. That's exactly what we want to keep. Then the stucco that you saw in there would probably go to a shiplap instead to keep consistent with the carriage house that's in the back and the little garage that's there. So as we look at those, that we'll try to keep consistent with that. The only addition you're really seeing as you look as far as what's additionally here than what is not, we're moving, there's a little covered area in that north portion that's existing that's about 3.5-4 feet.
And we're just moving that wall out to there to give her a little bit more room in there for all the kitchen's going to be back there, the laundry room, and, you know, another master bath and all of that. So, A1, I don't know if you are on that page.
Sheet TS also shows that overhang.
So can I ask a question? Rob?
Yes.
So I guess my question is, why are you proposing a hip?
Okay. So the reason we're tearing this all out is because of structural failure in the roof, structural failure in the floor, mm-hmm. mold. These are all hodgepodge windows and aluminum.
I'm okay with the demo. It's the roof.
Then replacing it, we have the wall on the south side that we're keeping, that we're limited to. And limited to rebuild what's there limits us to a straight 8-foot ceiling. It's small, it's short. And that's most high, that right there is at 7 feet that you're looking at. The doors are 6'8". She wants to put it back as a kitchen. That's going to be her main kitchen, laundry, storage area. And she wants to make it a feature of the home. She's a baker, she's a chef, and it's going to be a premium kitchen, but we wanted to have a taller, higher ceiling to give it a little more.
Match the rest of the house.
Have some clear story window, transom windows above these doors, and that'll be the kitchen dining area. And we're going to take this all the way out, but we have the rock wall on two sides that we have to marry to. And we're going to leave this down short in this same roof, because that's over the laundry, the storage, and the pantry areas. So we don't need any height. That allows us to then bring this back into the regular building. One of the problems is in this corner becomes a water trap. And replacing that with a shed roof doesn't make any architectural sense to us. So this also helps us solve the water problem in that corner. And we make it secondary to the original roof. We add these same little corbels on here to mimic it, but we tone down the trim so we're not mimicking it, we're not duplicating it.
So I figured it had to have been some type of challenge with getting it, you know, up against the building. But when I was on site, I didn't have the plans. I was just talking to Chris, and I thought it was a gable. I thought there was sort of like an intersecting gable coming out. But I would just suggest that we wouldn't put the corbels back around it, because I think it should look different than the original.
Let me ask you something else. Oh, I guess it does. It is seen from the people see it from the street. Yeah. We're not married to that, to the corbels. I mean, this could just be a simple trim that mimics the trim up here, but, you know, whether we put the corbels on it or not,
keep the dental off.
Kind of flat on that addition was really early on, and after this main block was built, so mm-hmm. I would just keep that flat board of the addition and not do the brackets.
Yeah, so on A3 or
yeah. Simplified.
Just mm-hmm. yep. It's this here. Mm-hmm. Right. And the one and the return.
I have no issues with that. Yeah, the challenge with this, if you look at A3, is on that is that A5? It's on that, that end of that where the Baroque turns a corner. We're stuck with that wedge shape, and there's almost nothing. You can't get more stone to change it, so we're playing with that as it is.
Yeah, the north elevation looks fine. Mm-hmm.
It's nice that it's a lower pitch than the main house, so I think that works with the scale and the massing that meets the Secretary of Standards.
And are you still proposing to use as that standing seam?
Yeah, from what we can tell, this porch was originally standing seam metal, and we're just going to use the same back here. And it's back of house, it can't be seen from the street.
But you wouldn't want it on the...
No, that'll be the column.
And only because then if you did that metal, then it starts to be more dominant to
this. I figured it, it was better to make this a subordinate mass and use the same rough.
He's on our board.
Mr. Chair, if I can just identify two things I did hear from the commission for your consideration. In terms of, I had recommended condition 7, which said chimneys are to be retained, and then went on about rebuilding. I think you'd be proposing to delete condition 7 and replace it with wording to the effect of the chimneys in the rear may be removed as it is not a primary facade, and the middle chimney on the western facade may be removed. The new chimney on that on the western facade shall not replicate the original chimneys, and the chimneys on the ends are to be retained. Secondly, on the porch, I think what I heard is that the porch can have 7 bays, but the 2 end bays are to be recessed per the 1885 Sanborn map building or porch footprint.
That's correct. And I think we can just reference. Did you get that, Tamara? Or tomorrow? Okay. Go ahead, Don.
I have to go back just for 1 second. Because these are Pella windows, and Pella comes in 2 different styles in the way the mullions are used. They have one form where the mullions fit between the glass, so you're using large pieces of glass, but in their traditional restoration type, the mullions are actually the putty type, and they're not between the sashes, so we have smaller windows and not large planes. So that's the one that I think that we talked about. I want to make sure that we're on board there.
Is that called out in the with the spec sheet?
I looked and it didn't really cover that,
no,
but
it will be.
Kind of like what Whipley did across the and down the street a ways when he put those in.
Yeah, if you know, there's some modifications we need to the plans, and if we could attach the actual specs for those bellows with it, I think that'll, we'll have, at least for the record, we'll know what we approve. Sure.
Okay. I'd like to make the first motion. I move to approve HRC 18-102, a request for a partial demolition. In addition, a re-roof modifications to the chimney. I need to say that one can be removed on the front and relocated.
Actually, you can just
as per staff recommendations, a new porch, staff recommendations, and a new fence on property zoned residential office located at 406 North Nevada Street, APN 003-226-03, based on the findings and conditions of approval contained in the staff report, the standards and guidelines for rehabilitation, Carson City Historic District guidelines, and consistent with Historic Resources Commission policies, and subject to the conditions of approval included in the staff report.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any questions?
For the benefit of the record, the motion is modifying condition number 7 to include the wording I just quoted before the motion and to provide the clarification on the porch footprint consistent with the 1885 Sanborn that I stated earlier.
Correct, and it does not include approval of windows. Any other questions on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have the issue of windows now. Would someone like to make a motion?
I move that we approve the replacement of the windows with the new Pella true divided light windows on all elevations, and that the old windows will be archived and stored for a future home or future use.
A motion, do I have a second?
Second.
I think it is. Yeah, it's a true divide.
The only question, do we want to amend it so that we do have the specifications and that, you know, with the updated drawings?
Yeah, if we can amend it, just say the updated or the updated specifications will be included on drawings.
With the updated specifications on the new drawings.
Any other questions on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
One opposed, the rest are ayes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
This was a very complicated project.
Yeah, and
is it
Andy.
As complicated as others? I mean, it's been a complicated reason.
Yeah, Andy, we really appreciate what you're doing.
She's doing it
for that house. So.
Don, which building was it that you redid with those pillars?
Can I approach? We don't?
Thank you again.
Okay.
Okay, item F, staff reports, discussion only.
Okay, since your last meeting, we've had five administrative approvals, two re-roofs. One was a situation in the district where that new convalescent home is being built. What they discovered is a neighboring property was encroaching into that property with a parking area, and so both parties wanted to have HRC approval so there wouldn't be any conflict and you could show the evolution of the HRC approval. So I think it was about a 5-foot encroachment of a parking area, so that was handled administratively. A window was converted to a door. It was not a primary facade. It was an interior property line. And a temporary stage for the Brewery Arts Center was approved. So those were the five administrative approvals. And next week, Commissioner Schmitter, the Community Development Director Lee Plemmel, and I will be headed to Des Moines, Iowa for the forum conference. So we'll come back with lots of information for you.
On windows.
Is there any commission member reports or comments? Done. Well, I guess I could bring this up. Parks and Recreation, on Morgan Mill, the Morgan Mill Trail, there's a historic culvert that was determined to be eligible to the National Register. With the floods over the last couple of years, it's beginning to collapse. Parks and Rec is working with FEMA to get funds to rehabilitate it. And along those lines, I've met with them and suggested that as chairman I might send a letter to National Park Service to their restoration people to see if they might be able to come out and help us with some ideas on how to rehabilitate that structure.
Okay.
Yeah, Michelle's seen the structure and has a good idea. So future agenda items. Could you check on, I'm trying to remember the address, it's Phil Hersey's property on Telegraph. Just find out what the status of
the new shed
that's already weathered and the plywood's going to start delaminating after another winter.
I did receive an inquiry, I was going to talk to the chair alone, but I'll just ask all of you. Whether or not you'd be interested in a presentation on Jack's Bar.
Yes.
Absolutely. Any future agenda items? Public comments. Members of the public who wish to address the commission may approach the podium at this time to speak on matters relevant to or within the authority of the Historic Resources Commission, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under the public comment portion of the agenda. Is there any public comment? Hearing none, we'll move to H, action on adjournment. Motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you.